Hi there, this is Jacqueline, Andy Nelson's wife. For years now, you have been hearing our son Will tell about how fun it is to travel with Dad, order pizza, and swim in hotel swimming pools. Well, now our kids are grown up and have moved away, and Andy is spending more time at home. He likes to cook but doesn't do dishes. He and his dog track up the kitchen, and now he's decorating the house with horseshoe art. He is a dandy cowboy poet and humorist, but a lousy interior decorator. So, give Andy a call at 307-360-8776 or email him from his website, cowpokepoet.com. Let's get him scheduled to perform at your next event. It works out great for all of us. You'll enjoy some outstanding entertainment, I'll get Andy out from underfoot, and we'll all have a fun weekend.
Well, by golly, we made it all the way back from the two-holer. Yeah, there's some good stories there, too.
Let me tell you.
Absolutely. All right, let's have some poetry.
Let's do it.
You know, I was thinking, we never get to hear the man from Snowy River because it's always so long.
Right.
But let's get after
let's
it.
Let's get her done.
Milton Taylor does it better than anyone, this Banjo Patterson poem, Man from Snowy River.
There was movement at the station. For the word had passed around that the colt from Old Regret had got away and had joined the wild bush horses. He was worth £1,000, and all the cracks had gathered to the fray. All the tried and noted riders from the stations near and far had gathered at the homestead overnight, for the bushmen love hard riding where the wild bush horses are, and the stock horse snuffs the battle with delight. There was Harrison. He made his pile when Pardon won the cup, the old man with his hair as white as snow. But few could stay beside him when his blood was fairly up. He would go wherever man or horse could go. And Clancy of the Overflow came down to lend a hand. No better horseman ever held the reins. And never horse could throw him while the saddle girth could stand. He learnt to ride while droving on the plains. And one was there, a stripling, on a small and weedy beast, 'twas something like a racehorse undersized, with a touch of team or pony, three parts thoroughbred at least, and such as are by mountain horsemen prized. He was hard and tough and wiry, just the sort that won't say die. There was courage in his quick, impatient tread, and he bore the badge of gameness in his bright and fiery eye and the proud and lofty carriage of his head. But still, so slight and weedy, one would doubt his power to stay. And the old man said, "That horse'll never do for a long and tiring gallop, lad. You'd better stop away. Those hills are far too rough for such as you." So he waited, sad and wistful. Only Clancy stood his friend. "I think we ought to let him come," he said. "I warrant he'll be with us when he's needed at the end. For both he and horse are mountain bred. He hails from Snowy River, up by Kosciuszko's side, where the hills are twice as steep and twice as rough, where a horse's hoofs strike firelight from the flintstones every stride. The man that holds his own is good enough. And the Snowy River riders on the mountains make their home where the river runs those giant hills between. I have seen full many horsemen since I first commenced to roam, but nowhere yet such horsemen have I seen." So he went. They found the horses by the big mimosa clump. They raced away towards the mountain's brow, and the old man gave his orders. "Boys, go at 'em from the jump. No use to try for fancy riding now. And Clancy, you must wheel 'em. Try and wheel 'em to the right. Ride boldly, lad, and never fear the spills, for never yet was rider that could keep the mob in sight if once they gained the shelter of those hills." So Clancy rode to wheel them. He was racing on the wing where the best and boldest riders take their place, and he raced his stock horse past them, and he made the rangers ring with the stock whip as he met them face to face. Then they halted for a moment while he swung the dreaded lash, but they saw their well-loved mountain full in view, and they charged beneath the stock whip with a sharp and sudden dash, and off into the mountain scrub they flew. Then fast the horsemen followed, where the gorges deep and black resounded to the thunder of their tread, and the stock whips woke the echoes, and they fiercely answered back from cliffs and crags that beetled overhead. And upward, ever upward, the wild horses held their way, where mountain ash and courage on grew wide, and the old man muttered fiercely, we may bid the mob good day. No man can hold them down the other side. When they reached the mountain summit, even Clancy took a pull. It well might make the boldest hold their breath. The wild hop scrub grew thickly, and the hidden ground was full of wombat holes, and any slip was death. But the man from Snowy River let the pony have his head, and he swung his stock whip round and gave a cheer, and he raced him down the mountain like a torrent down its bed, while the others stood and watched in very fear. He sent the flintstones flying, but the pony kept his feet. He cleared the fallen timber in his stride, and the man from Snowy River never shifted in his seat. It was grand to see that mountain horseman ride. Through the stringy barks and saplings on the rough and broken ground, down the hillside at a racing pace he went, and he never drew the bridle till he landed safe and sound at the bottom of that terrible descent. He was right among the horses as they climbed the farther hill, and the watchers on the mountain, standing mute, saw him ply the stock whip fiercely. He was right amongst them still as they raced across the clearing in pursuit. Then they lost him for a moment where two mountain gullies met in the ranges, but a final glimpse reveals on a dim and distant hillside the wild horses racing yet with the man from Snowy River at their heels. And he ran them, single-handed, till their sides were white with foam. He followed like a bloodhound on their track till they halted, cowed and beaten. Then he turned their heads for home, and alone and unassisted brought them back. But his hardy mountain pony, he could scarcely raise a trot. He was blood from hip to shoulder from the spur, but his pluck was still undaunted and his courage fiery hot. For never yet was mountain horse a cur. And down by Kosciuszko, where the pine-clad ridges raise their torn and rugged battlements on high, where the air is clear as crystal, and the white stars fairly blaze at midnight in a cold and frosty sky, and where around the overflow the reed beds sweep and sway to the breezes, and the rolling plains are wide, the man from Snowy River is a household word today, and the stockmen tell the story of his ride.
Man, oh man, masterful piece of writing and a masterful piece of reciting.
Oh man, I miss Milton.
Milton Taylor was one of a kind.
He was a bushman, yeah.
My gosh, did we have a good time with him.
Loved
too.
That man.
Yep. You know, we're saying that more and more.
We are.
The late so-and-so.
Well, and I like his recitation of the Pearl of
Them All. Pearl of Them All. Oh, yep. My gosh. In the droving days, who's riding Brown Harlequin now? Oh, man.
Yeah.
You can go on.
Who's doing that now?
Yeah, right.
Who is?
Yeah. Right. Who's bringing up the rear now?
Come on, man.
It's
kind of scary.
Never hear the stuff recited much anymore. I am grateful for the cowboy poets that are keeping the old classics
alive.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and I'm big on writing your own stuff,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and not
mm-hmm.
relying on all of the the classics.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody has to remember the classics, and somebody
absolutely.
Has to keep them going.
Well, and I think Brooksy is doing a pretty good job.
Oh, there's
job.
No
I
doubt.
I hope she's still doing
Randy
that.
Riemann. Right. You know, Joel Nelson, they're keeping all the classics going. And, man, I do appreciate that. But some of the old bush poets,
yep.
There's not many
anymore.
Not
many coming through,
Right. Hey, we need to end the show.
Why?
Yeah, well, because Sons of the San Juan King are riding along with us. Yep, great song, Anything But a Cowboy.
I paid my dues like all buckaroos who insisted on riding the bad ones. I've had my share of bad breaks and bruises. You bet I could tell you some sad ones. Now I ride the trail where the coyotes wail. The pony's my only companion. That's why I'll never want to be anything but a cowboy. I swing along with a lonesome song. My pony's a-steppin' so easy. don't seem to care as we're climbing up there where the air's turning colder and breezy. I stop to make camp and I trim the old lamp and I sit by the campfire and I listen. That's why I'll never want to be anything but a cowboy. Lobo's a-wailing, calling his name. Rudolph's a-hooting, it's getting late. Soft breeze a-sighing, wild critters hiding. My world's a wonderful world up here where I'm a-riding. In a myriad stars' light, I ponder the night and gaze on its splendorous treasure. A beauty so rare, just a-hanging up there. The Lord did it all for my pleasure. I wake with the dawn, the thrill lingers on. I bow, I worship with wonder. That's why I'll never want to be anything but a cowboy. I've paid my dues like all buckaroos who insisted on riding the bad ones. I've had my share of bad breaks and bruises. You bet I could tell you some sad ones. Now I ride the trail where the cows went. The pony's my only companion. That's why I'll never want to be anything but a cowboy. That's why I'll never want to be anything but a cowboy. That's why I'll never want to be anything but a cowboy.
Well, that signals the end of another Clear Out West radio show.
Really?
Yeah.
Did we get the stew taken care of?
No.
There's more.
No, there's all sorts of...
Always
yeah.
more.
I got to thinking about old chewing rigs.
Hey.
Yeah.
Dad's old international pickup.
Dad's international harvester pickup.
Yeah.
My goodness. Several.
Several of them.
If I remember
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
There was a black one, and there was a red one.
Yeah.
And there was a red and white one.
White one, yeah.
Yeah. Had yeah. his shoeing info on the door.
That's right. Have forge will
Have
travel.
Have forge will travel, it
yes,
said.
Sir.
That's right. Dad's old shoeing rigs. It was quite a sight when I decided I was going to hang out my shingle and start.
Yeah, I like this story.
Yeah, yeah, start.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Start shoeing. And my shoeing rig was a 1972 two-door Chevy Nova.
Nova. And what a good rig.
It was. Well, and the trunk was all metal.
Yeah.
I mean, and I put my anvil, my stand, my tools, everything inside, not a problem.
It all fit.
Yeah. It was quite a sight to see me pull up on a shoeing job.
Yeah.
It really was. Pop the trunk and start
unloading
shoeing tools. Yeah, I have a 1972 Chevy Nova. Now, at one point in time, I could put all of my earthly possessions in that Chevy Nova, including my shoeing tools.
Including, yes,
yep,
yes.
In the trunk and the back seat.
Absolutely.
I could put everything that I owned.
Yep.
Yeah.
The Ford Galaxy was the same way.
Yeah, it was, wasn't yeah. it? Yeah, yeah. I was driving the Ford Galaxy when it finally died. Yeah. Oh, man.
Anyway, yeah, it was yeah, a sad yeah. day.
You had a little Chevy S10 that you used to shoe.
Yeah, in. Yeah. It went everywhere until I hit that deer.
Yeah. That'll do it.
Yeah, but I liked it because you could reach over the top.
Yes.
You didn't have to stand on your tippy toes to get something out of the middle of the bed.
Break a rib to get anything out of the middle of the track. Yeah.
It worked well.
It did. I rode in that really with you to many a shoeing job.
We covered some miles for sure.
Oh, man. Hey, folks who want to stay tuned for next week, though.
That's right.
Yeah. Don't touch that.
Don't touch
it. In honor of Uncle Dick in the 22. Don't touch that. So stay tuned.
I will.
And folks, we want to thank you for taking us into your homes and into your feed trucks. And always remember,
don't stand behind a coughing milk cow.
Anything goes today.
Absolutely.